Hi, it's Tony Bruschi from Real Ghost Stories Online, inviting you to subscribe to our other podcast called The Grave Talks. It's where I sit down and interview individuals who've had extreme paranormal situations happen to them in their lives. Just search The Grave Talks on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you download podcasts. Be sure to press subscribe and give us some stars to help spread the word that this show exists. Now, here's a 15-minute preview of The Grave Talks. Today on The Grave Talks, ghosts of sleep paralysis. What are the ghosts of sleep paralysis? Every night, thousands of people around the world are plagued by an event known as sleep paralysis. Some write it off as the experience of a simple trick of the mind. The brain falling into a state of consciousness and sleep, throwing them into a paranormal-like state, seeing things that are not really there. Others understand something quite different. Some can even prove that something very real is taking place, providing physical evidence of something much darker at play. And they're sucked into this very real situation beyond their control. Today on The Grave Talks, we discuss the ghosts of sleep paralysis with Tyler Young, as he recounts the countless experience and evidence he's found while suffering from this controversial phenomenon.
You know, it really, one of the first paranormal experiences I ever had was actually in my grandma's house. We lived in Northeast Portland, and my grandpa owned about 2.5-3 acres, and they split it in half and gave it to my dad. Well, my grandpa hand-built his house up front, back in, oh, I want to say 1950s or so. And we used to stay the night there all the time. Well, my grandma was kind of a collector. She was one of those grandmas that collected things from Goodwill and little buttons and, you know, just knicks and knacks and all sorts of stuff. And she always had these dolls that she collected from there. And my stepmom at the time of 20 years, she had basically raised me, and she used to tell us stories about when she was a kid, like she hated sleeping in her room and weird stuff would always happen and hearing things down the hall. And every time you go to my grandma's house, when you walked in the house and you looked to the left, you went through this like kind of entryway through the dining room into the living room. And she always had this like huge corner of just like probably a good $50 to $100 that she had just, it was kind of creepy, but she just kind of sat there. It literally just sat there in her living room. Even when I was a kid, and you just kind of got this odd feeling, you know, it was just, you have all these eyes staring at you. And when we stayed the night over there, you slept in the living room.
Sure.
So, one night we were over there, and we were always told not to go in the basement. The basement was in the living room. It was kind of a weird setup, but at the other end of the living room, it's kind of hard to explain, but you kind of go to the back of the living room, and then there's a hallway that goes to the back of the house with the rooms and a bathroom. Well, before you hit that hallway, if you turn around like you're facing the front of the living room, there's a staircase that goes down to the basement. The door's at the bottom, so there's just a staircase, and it's really dark. There's no light, and there's only one light down there, and it's a cement basement. It's all cement, and nobody ever go down there. Apparently, my uncles slept down there. That was their rooms, but it was the same thing. Like, they hated living down there. Like, they refused to stay down there once they got older. And anyway, backtracking to when I stayed the night, we babysitted these two kids, Hunter and Halsey, from when I was about 4 to 15. So our whole lives, they were like our siblings, and we were all over there. I remember it was a summer night. I was probably, I want to say 10 or 12 maybe. And Hunter was, 7 or 8. And, we had all heard some of the stories about these dolls and moving and making noise at night, and my grandma's pendulum clock going off at random times and stopping at random times, even though, you know, there was nothing to unplug or nothing, you know, it's just odd things happening at weird times in the night. And so that night we went to sleep, and I remember vaguely waking up in the middle of the night and hearing Hunter, I don't know if he was crying or, you know, something was wrong. And I remember waking up, like, whispering, like, "Hey, are you okay?" And I thought he was just having a bad dream because he never responded to me. And so the next morning we woke up, you know, not a lot happened that night, for me at least. And then he was just off the whole morning. He was just super quiet. And I remember that, and he just didn't want to talk to any of us. And I remember we finally left my grandma's house to go play in the yard, and I had asked him, like, "Hey, are you okay?" Or, you know, like, you know, I told him kind of what happened last night. I said, "Do you remember that?" And he just shook his head, "Yeah." I said, "What was wrong?" And he kept talking about this boy. And I was like, "What boy?" And then my actual brother at that time was Hunter's age. He was about 7 or 8, and he was over there too, but we were all passed out in the living room. So I was like, "Are you talking about Austin?" Like, you know, that was the only other boy besides us three. And he goes, no, you know, that's not him. And that's not who it was. He goes, "This boy, he looked like me, but he was, you know, he was dead." I go, "What do you mean he was dead?" And he goes, "Well, I saw him in the mirror." He goes, "But it wasn't me because I couldn't see myself in the mirror. I just saw, like, over there in the kitchen, but I could see a boy standing there, and he was looking at me." And I said, "Well, what do you mean?" And then, you know, I was like 10. I didn't understand, really. You know, like, I obviously been over to my grandma's house and had spooky vibes all the time, but I was a kid.
Sure.
So I didn't think anything of it. Well, later that week, we went back over to my grandma's house for lunch. And, you know, we went over there all the time. It was, you know, open door kind of thing. We just kind of ran in, you know, it was just how it was. And I remember we had lunch, and we were just about to walk out to go play. And I remember, this is like the most vivid part of the memory, is I remember Hunter just screaming at the top of his lungs. And I mean, screaming, like, just like he had just gotten, like, stabbed or, you know, something really bad. And I'd never heard that from him before, you know, in 5 years at that point that I had known him. And I, you know, immediately, I was like one of the only people close to him, and I ran up to him like, "What's going on? What's going on? Are you hurt?" You know, and he just said, "He's there. He's there." And I look over, and I'm looking in the mirror, and I didn't see anything, you know, and I could just see the fear in his face. Mm-hmm. And I remember the goosebump, like, as a kid, you know, even getting that thought of, well, if he's this scared, you know, and Hunter wasn't the kind to just get scared for no reason. He was a pretty fearless kid. Like, he, you know, he didn't really have a lot of fears or get scared of the dark or anything like that. And I wasn't either, you know. And so my stepdad passed away when I was 7. So in front of me. So, you know, fear to me wasn't a huge thing, you know. So I just didn't understand, you know, what was happening. And my grandma later, when I was years later old, she had told me that she didn't like to talk about it much, but, you know, she told me that a lot of weird things had happened in that house. And she had never spoken of a boy, but she said that, you know, Hunter wasn't the first person to see a little kid in that house. And, you know, it would have been nice to know. Obviously we probably wouldn't have understood at that age. But I remember for years after that, Hunter would not go in my grandma's house. He refused. Anytime we went over there, he just stayed at the house. He would never, ever go in there because he was so scared. And I truly believe that day, whatever he saw in the night before, he really saw, you know. And I mean, to this day, I mean, he was pretty young. I don't know if he remembers it now, But I would imagine, as traumatizing as it was, if I were to ask him about it, I don't talk to him really anymore, but I would imagine that he probably would have. But I remember that was really my distinctive first memory of paranormal, you could say.
Sure.
It didn't directly happen to me, but it affected me big time.
It was close, close enough where you realized, wait a second, this is not all just make-believe. This is not all just stuff that kids make up, especially with the way that he acted after the fact. If a kid's going to make something up, half the time they'll forget it by next week, and then no big deal to go back in the house. But it was a traumatizing situation where he never wanted to set foot in that house ever again.
Yeah, and what's creepy about the whole thing is, this is years later now. My grandma, she's a sweet, sweet lady, and she's probably in her late 80s now, but she's doing still really good. But I want to say, 20 years ago now? Oh, no, not 20, because I'm, 29. Maybe 10 years ago? Yeah, I was about 15, 14. We moved her out of that house because my grandpa had passed away. And we started getting rid of, she was kind of a pack rat, obviously. So she was really attached to all these things that she had collected, even though they were basically junk, it was just a bunch of junk laying around the house.
Sure.
And, we had told her, and at that point, and this is going to go into some of the other stories that I went through, but after going through some of those experiences later that I had, I learned a lot, obviously, about the paranormal and things that attach themselves to things. And I had talked to her, and she's very religious. She's Mormon. And so I tried to tread light water on that subject, with her. But, I just told her, I said, a lot of these things you have, Grandma, are very old, and you don't know where they came from. You don't know what's happened around them or to them or things that were attached to them physical wise. Mm-hmm. And I said, I told her, I said, we're talking like hundreds to couple hundreds of items here, Grandma. Like, that's not good, and a lot of things have happened in this house that are just off. And I think you need to kind of cleanse the energy around you here because, when my grandpa passed, like so many bad things happened in a sequence of events, and it was just kind of crazy in like a 10-year span from about that time when I was a kid to 10 years after that, how quickly things declined everything around that house. And I don't know what she brought in that house, and maybe it was something she brought in around that time, because she literally would go like once a month shopping every month, and bring all these little goodies home. And it's like, that's great and that's cool, but you don't know where they came from. And I'm a fond believer that you really have to be careful when you go to secondhand stores or you just choose to pick something up. I live in Gladstone, Oregon here, Portland, Oregon, basically. And it's like a Goodwill or something. You find something cool and you're like, oh, this is awesome, I'm going to bring it home.
Especially if there's a bird on it. Yeah.
Huh?
Especially if there's a bird on it, then it's something even.
Yeah,
there's about 1% of our audience that got that joke, but
it's crazy, but it's true, I have a thing, like if I ever go to a secondhand store, besides even clothing, as soon as I get home, obviously I wash it right away, it's like the first thing I do, the second is I usually try to cleanse it, in my own way that I do, and whatever it is, because you don't know where it came from. You don't know what kind of energy was attached to it. And maybe it was good, and that's great. But even if it's good, it still means that something could definitely be following you. And I've learned that the hard way myself.
It seems that your grandma did have an understanding that, or at least just somewhat of an acceptance, that other people had seen things in this house, that there were other things there other than just the living. It wasn't just brushed off as being kids' imagination. So did she have, or at that time, seem to have any understanding or I guess cautionary understanding of what she was doing with bringing those items in? I hope you enjoyed your 15-minute preview of our new podcast, The Grave Talks. Be sure to subscribe to it on Apple Podcasts or wherever you download podcasts to not miss any episode of the show. New episodes every single Monday. Just search for The Grave Talks and then press subscribe. Give us a review while you're at it and some stars that will help us grow in the rankings and let other folks know that the show exists to make an even better show for you. The Grave Talks. Check it out at thegravetalks.com.